This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we delete everything and you can't have any.
And I make squeaking sounds with my mouth by accident.
You sound just like your daughter. And today's episode is about milk, just like yesterday's episode.
We have already recorded this episode, but Matthew had the recorder on the wrong setting.
And you know what Anne Lamott says? You should do a shitty first draft and throw it away.
That's what we aim to...
Or fix it or something.
I'm really sad, though, that this is the episode that we deleted because... Well, some of this milk just wasn't so fun to taste.
And now we're going to do it again.
Woohoo!
And it's because we love our listeners so much.
We do it all for you, just like Brian Adams.
That's not how it goes. Everything I do, we do it all for you.
Yes.
Okay. So, milk. Let's crack open memory lane. As Brian Adams also says.
Under the asphalt
yes.
of your memory. Okay, well, I was one of those unfortunate children who was forced to drink a nice tall glass of milk every night with dinner. It was 2%, just, you know, the grocery store brand. It was actually probably from Brahms. Do you remember our discussing Brahms?
I do.
The milkshake episode?
Wait, so in addition to milkshakes, they had just a glass of milk?
You could, you know, they had sort of like a little, you know, sort of mini mart section.
Okay.
Where you could buy their milk and their ice cream and stuff like that. Anyway, so I was made to drink a tall glass of 2% milk every night with dinner, and I hated it. I also had milk on my cereal, and that was just fine. But,
yeah,
you know.
I had mostly milk on cereal, as I think we probably discussed during the cold cereal episode.
We really have nothing new to say.
No, I think we do. I think we're gonna get deep into pasteurization. We're gonna get into a vat, and it's gonna get warmer and warmer, and we won't notice it, like the frog getting boiled, and then we'll be boiled.
That'd be better than tasting some of these milks again.
Yeah, but you know what? now they're like a couple days older and probably aged to perfection.
Great.
Yeah, we're going to go down into the milk cellar and see what vintages we can pull up.
But first, wait. So, wait, you didn't have to drink a glass of milk every night with dinner?
No, I do remember drinking a glass of milk here and there, but I think I just kind of weaseled out of it somehow, and that's why my growth was stunted.
I always wondered.
But I didn't really object to milk, I don't think, unless it was something other than ice cold.
Yeah, yeah, milk has to be cold, which is why, while we record this intro, our milk is still in the fridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are only going to take it out at the last moment.
I think, actually, we should bring the microphones over to the fridge and just drink it straight out of the carton in front of the fridge like civilized people do.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That thing about people drinking milk out of the carton standing in front of the fridge is something I've only seen, like, on a TV show.
Me too, although I will say that when I was in grade school, your parents could pay a certain amount of money per month for you to get milk at lunch. And we had to bring our lunches, but they would bring in like a milk crate of these little tiny milk cartons. And if your parents had paid for it, you could have yours.
They still exist. They still come in the same crate. Nothing
really?
Has changed.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you remember, I don't know if you ever had that milk, but do you remember how soggy the paper carton gets under your lips?
Yes. When you have to drink it out of the square opening.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember this vividly. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was really gross.
And our milk was Borden brand at my school.
Uh-huh.
And it said, you know, on the side, it said, like, the slogan for Borden was, it's got to be good or something.
That sounds right.
But right below it was the word to open with a little arrow.
Sure.
And we thought it was so funny that the carton said, Borden, it's got to be good to open. Like, we thought that was really funny.
Why is that funny?
I don't know, but we thought it was funny.
All right, well, let's open the fridge and see what lies within.
Okay.
All right, so we've got a variety of different kinds of milk here. We did not.
Wait a minute, we're missing one. Where's the Fresh Breeze?
Oh, sorry.
What the hell? I didn't come all the way over here to drink all these other stinking milks.
It was right in front of my face. So we've got five different kinds of milk, but you know, we didn't exhaust every kind of milk that exists.
We, for instance, don't have any breast milk. Although, actually, I have some on me, literally on me.
But, that's good.
Yeah.
Have you tasted it?
I have not. Have you tasted it?
Yeah, I have.
Wow, what's it like?
It's really, really sweet, like ice cream sweet.
Yeah, I always heard that it was kind of like melted, like vanilla ice cream.
Thinner than that,
yeah.
But maybe it's like melted vanilla frozen dairy dessert.
Oh, that's really appealing. Well, now I'm curious to taste it, although I have to say, I don't know.
The idea grosses you out?
The idea kind of grosses me out, although I do have to say that I get this ridiculous kind of pride when I see the fat cap rise to the top of the pumped milk in the refrigerator. I'm like, I made that butter fat.
Yeah. So we have five kinds of cow's milk here, and we're going to taste those.
Okay.
It's, you know, cow's milk, it's just cow breast milk. it's not the slogan of Borden.
Now that you mention it.
Okay, so I think
it's just cow breast milk.
To open. So let's start out with the skim milk, shall we?
Okay.
Skim milk.
I feel like this is, if you know, I always sort of do the cheese plate analogy. I feel like this is going to be maybe sort of the
Kraft singles,
like the part skim mozzarella.
All right, cheers.
Okay, cheers. Oh, yeah.
It hasn't improved since last time we tasted it. I was wrong about the cellaring.
It is so thin. I mean, I know that that is the whole thing with skim milk, but it's so thin and it's just sweet. And it's seriously, if I closed my eyes and put that in my mouth, I kind of just wouldn't know what the heck that was. It could even be some sort of weird water.
If I closed my eyes and put that in my mouth, Brian Adams. it seems like maybe I should have had a joke instead of just saying Brian Adams again, but that's my thing for today. Skim milk, what can you say? If it's your milk of choice, I'm sorry.
You know, I went many years having skim milk as my mm-hmm. milk of choice. And yeah, I just don't get it now. I don't know why I ever did that to myself. No, I feel like, you know, it served a purpose in that it wet my cereal.
Yeah.
But
have you ever accidentally poured something other than milk onto your cereal in a morning, just woke up, bleary haze?
No. Have you?
I absolutely have poured apple juice onto my cereal. I have poured water onto my cereal. I've poured orange juice onto my cereal. I've never, like, gone ahead and eaten it.
You haven't?
No, because that would be awful.
You know, I ate some cereal about 2 weeks ago with very expired milk on it.
Ugh.
I am still recovering, which is why it is so painful for me to be doing this milk tasting for a second time, because it's a little hard for me to consume milk right now.
When you say you ate it, how far into the bowl did you get before turning back?
I knew it like halfway through chewing my first bite of cereal.
Okay.
And it was literally, I don't know that I have ever put something in my mouth and just spit it, like spewed it because of the flavor. like I've choked on something or it's been too hot or whatever. No,
I mean, or I said something funny.
Exactly, obviously. But I mean, I literally just spewed this. I could not keep it in my mouth.
Wow.
It was revolting. It was like blue cheese without any of the benefits of cheese flavor.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Couldn't you have told this story like 6 minutes from now and we're
done? No, let's keep tasting.
Okay. So now we have some more interesting stuff here. The rest are all whole milks. And I think what distinguishes them in part is the type of pasteurization that they've undergone.
Yeah. Let's really go into this because I'm sure our readers have been waiting.
Let's go into this like shoulder deep. Like
and by readers, I mean listeners.
Like we're birthing a calf. By readers, you mean subscribers. Okay, so pasteurization. What's this all about? Let us tell you. Pasteurization, you heat up the milk and it sterilizes it, but there's more to it than that. You can not pasteurize your milk at all. And then
that's raw milk. You have to let me contribute something.
I know. Here. I just realized like I'm going to do one of these things where I drone on and on. Okay. Mm-hmm, and then there's that pasteurization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jumping in anytime.
Go on.
Jump into the vat. That is where you heat the milk to a gentle temperature, like 160 degrees or something, well below boiling, and hold it there for quite a while. The idea is the lower the pasteurization temperature, the less it's going to affect the flavor of the milk and the less bacteria it's going to kill overall.
Okay. Okay, so one of our milks here today is vat pasteurized.
Two of them, I think.
Great.
Then there's HTST pasteurization, which is high temperature, short time, I believe.
Mm.
And that's when it goes through a tube that's got like a heated jacket around it, and so it gets quite hot for a much shorter amount of time.
Okay.
That's typical of like supermarket milk.
Okay. Does our skim milk say anything about that?
No, because it doesn't necessarily say on the label. And then there's like the really hot like ultra pasteurizing and UHT
that ultra high temperature.
Yes, and so that's like kind of pressure cooked milk. And that's when you get the kind of milk that's shelf stable, like in the individual like lunch box pack. That's UHT.
I find that you see it a lot outside the U.S.
Yeah.
We don't allow
that sort of thing here.
Except for, I find that you see it a lot with alternative milks here.
Because they sell more slowly?
Maybe so.
And I think it's, because like the soy milk or rice milk always comes in the shelf-stable packs.
Yeah.
We don't have any of the UHT milk here today. I find that it has kind of a not unpleasant cooked flavor to mm-hmm. it, but it doesn't really taste much like fresh milk.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I've purchased it before, but I don't want to drink it. It is oddly sweet.
Yeah. So as promised, we just talked about pasteurization for a really long time without
Hope
any
you
jokes.
Enjoyed it.
let's drink something. Okay. So how about some Smith Brothers whole milk?
So this is sort of kind of a nice grocery store brand.
Yeah.
Boy, I like the body of this a lot better than the skim milk.
Yeah, it's like white all the way through, like me.
Okay, that is so much better than the skim milk, but it is still just sort of like, this is what milk tastes like. Like, it's not...
It's plain.
Plain! That's the word I'm looking for.
I feel like this is the milk I would want if I were eating a cereal known for flavoring its milk.
Oh, like what?
Like Cocoa Krispies, for example.
I've never had Cocoa Krispies.
They're not very good, but they leave behind like a sort of Nestle Quick flavored chocolate milk.
You know, my favorite cereal for making cereal milk is Frosted Flakes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is just the dream for me.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to pick up a box of Frosted Flakes before the end of the day because you said
really?
That.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Frosted Flakes are a wonderful cereal.
Oh, they are such a great cereal. We've discussed them.
Yeah, on the cereal episode.
Because really, we're once again not doing anything new here on this show anymore.
All right, let's taste maybe a milk that isn't on every grocery shelf.
Okay.
By which I mean goat. No, we don't have goat. Sorry.
Did I ever tell you that I once figured out that my childhood phone number was 848-GOAT?
No.
And I also figured out that if you included the 848 in the spelling part, that it was tit goat.
Wow, that really totally fits the topic.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's cell phone number is dad dung.
Are you serious?
Totally serious.
Did he figure that out? Or
of
did
course
you?
He did.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It's exactly like I'm sure he like did a dance when he figured it out because it's exactly his kind of joke. And luckily, I didn't inherit that sort of thing.
Oh, definitely not.
So where should we go to next?
Let's go to the old Fresh Breeze.
Okay.
So this is the milk that I keep at home. And it comes from a farm, a family farm in Linden, Washington. You can buy it in a number of stores around here, either homogenized or non-homogenized. I prefer the non-homogenized kind. Oh, what am I saying? I prefer the homogenized kind. I accidentally bought the non-homogenized kind like a week ago and have been suffering through my breakfast cereal ever since.
How chunky is it?
Oh my God. I've been eating breakfast cereal with like butter flakes.
See, I don't think I realized until we started tasting these milks what unhomogenized means. Okay, wait, let's stick with the thing we're tasting
on.
Right now.
That is a delicious milk. It's not funky. It's not... You know, it's not like it's that interesting. It just has this wonderful caramelly note to it.
And a little bit of a grassy flavor,
I think. Yeah, I think that is a wonderful milk.
Yeah, I need to give you credit for introducing me to Fresh Breeze, which has become my house milk as well. I think I first heard of it when you were talking about making their cream into creme fraiche, which is awesome. Yeah. But yeah, it's just a great all-around milk. It's mm-hmm. flavorful, it's organic, it's... Fresh Breeze, call us, put us on the payroll. I don't know, unless the next thing we try is better.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
And then there were chunks.
So next up, we're tasting milk in one of those old school glass bottles. This is from Twin Brook Creamery.
Love the bottle.
Is also in Linden, Washington. Is this just Fresh Breeze under a different name?
I think they probably have like a two farms on either side of the road rivalry going on with lots of espionage, like what kind of milking machine do they have? Are they homogenizing? Are they not homogenizing?
So, okay, readers/listeners/subscribers.
Uh-huh.
Can you please tell us why you would choose to buy non-homogenized milk? Because I was so sad when I discovered that I had accidentally picked up the non-homogenized milk and really, like, I cannot deal with the chunks. Like, I shook it really well, but it still has chunks.
Well, and why wouldn't it? Because, like, you're not going to shake apart a cohesive chunk of butter, basically. Yeah, I mean, is there a person who, sitting one day drinking their homogenized milk, thought to themselves, this is not bad, but it's not chunky enough? Is it like a chunky peanut butter, creamy peanut butter thing?
Maybe so. You know, in which case, I guess I am solidly a creamy person. I mean, I pour my non-homogenized milk through a strainer before I put it on my cereal.
There is a big-ass butterfat chunk in my milk.
This is the milk I was dreading tasting again.
But, I mean, the taste of the actual milk is terrific.
It's delicious milk. I mean, is this the benefit of non-homogenization?
It's certainly possible that it could have an effect on the flavor.
Are you going to drink that chunk?
You had to notice.
Drink, 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 drink. Oh, the face you're making.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
What determines why do these milks taste so different? I mean, do you think it's all in the pasteurization? Is it the feed?
Well, I know that Fresh Breeze is vat pasteurized. Mm-hmm. I assume Twin Brook is as well.
I assume so.
You know, I certainly think that they're probably keeping more flavor because they're not, you know, raised to high heat for a long time. But I also feel like it does have to be the fact that those cows are pastured and they're eating real grass that probably has different flavors to it depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
And certainly got to make for more interesting tasting milk than, you know, feedlot feed.
Oh my God, we've been drinking all this milk and we haven't made any deliberate milk mustaches. In those celebrity milk mustache ads, which I assume are for mustaches. They paint it on, right? Or like,
I'm pretty sure. And I think it's like probably some sort of glue or something.
Yeah, so or like white out.
I don't think any milk would leave that thick a residue unless maybe you're drinking pure cream or like mm-hmm. slightly whipped cream.
Well, they are celebrities. That's probably the kind of thing they
That's
do all
true.
The time.
They are rich.
Okay, so we've tasted a bunch of milks. What are our conclusions? Milk, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I still don't really like just drinking it.
I don't either.
I do like it on my cereal, though.
Yeah, we should have gotten some Oreos.
Oh, shit.
But I don't know. Then
now we're going to have to put an explicit tag on this show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, milk and cookies. They go together well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mostly if I'm drinking a glass of milk, there is almost certain to be an Oreo or a chocolate chip cookie within 12 inches.
Yeah. Do you have a butter chunk stuck in your throat?
I think I do. I think it may have congealed there. All right. Find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
You can also find us on iTunes where you can write a review, but only if you like the show.
Yes.
Don't write a bad review.
You can also thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Oh, no. No. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk, the show
that's utterly fantastic.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Brian Adams. 's great. Yeah, you don't have to step that far out of the milk box to get a more interesting milk. What am I trying to say here? This isn't making any sense.
Mm-mm, definitely right. Not.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.